Good afternoon and welcome to Inside the FLX. As always, we are coming to you live from the Finger Lakes One studio in downtown Seneca Falls. Thanksgiving is officially behind us, and we have a very special guest today as Dale Driscoll joins us in studio to talk about Brittany's Law, legislation in New York aimed at creating a violent offenders registry and protecting families from domestic violence. Dale, how are you?
Good. How are you, Josh?
Very good. So, for those who don't know you, we have... Me and you have worked together for several months now on various projects for the Finger Lakes Times and now here. For those who don't know you or know how Brittany's Law came about, mm-hmm. tell us a little bit about yourself and how it all came to be.
Well, I'm the maternal grandmother of Brittany. There were actually a few different things that had happened that just didn't sit well with me. Mm-hmm. Number one, Helen was never told what John Brown had done, why he was actually in prison. Mm-hmm. He told her that he was in a barroom brawl, that his hands were registered weapons, and mm-hmm. that's why. And she thought, oh, great, you know, this guy will take care of me. That was all a lie. Mm-hmm. Number two, we found out later that he wasn't around his own children, yet he was allowed to move in with her underage children. Mm-hmm. Third, I was there the day before this happened, and he had to meet with his parole officer and his parole officer's boss in Rochester. And he came home, big grin on his face, mm-hmm. and bragging about this business card that he got, mm-hmm. moniker to get it out of jail free card, mm-hmm. if he agreed to work with them once his parole was done as a narc. Mm-hmm. And all of it was wrong. I felt the system mm-hmm. failed them. Mm-hmm. I felt it was going to continue to fail people. So I sent out an email to Senator Nuzzolio. Mm-hmm. I think actually two. And I think they get kind of overwhelmed sometimes.
Yeah.
And it really wasn't too long before they had me in their office mm-hmm. talking about what happened.
Just as a quick little setup to that, for those who do not know, Brittany and her mother Helen were both murdered in 2009.
Mm, correct.
That is sort of the setup to in Geneva. That is the setup to what you just explained. So this has been something. Now Brittany's Law has been getting batted around New York State now for half a decade, mm-hmm. 5 years. What has been the biggest challenge that it's faced so far?
Getting it to the Assembly. Mm-hmm. It passes the Senate overwhelmingly every year, mm-hmm. but we can't even seem to get it out of committee.
5 consecutive years,
yes.
correct?
Okay. Yes. We can't get it out of Corrections Committee to even get it to the floor mm-hmm. for a vote. And nobody is telling us why. I did get an answer 1 year, about 3 years ago, mm-hmm. when Dennis Gabrizak sponsored the bill in the Assembly. And it's got bipartisan support, too. Mm-hmm. Of course, Republicans in the Senate, and a Democrat usually sponsors the bill mm-hmm. in the Assembly.
Yep.
So that shouldn't be an issue. But I did talk with Assemblyman Gabrizak 1 year, and he told me there were some members that felt it was unconstitutional. Mm-hmm. per Penal Code 70.02. Mm-hmm. So I looked up this penal code, mm-hmm. and I'm reading it, and I looked at it, and looked at it, and looked at it, and I can't figure out what's wrong. Why mm-hmm. we're using this code, it's active, why would it be considered unconstitutional? Mm-hmm. So again, I sent out an email to Mike, mm-hmm. and thought afterwards, this may get swallowed up in a million emails,
yep.
and it was important that he got it, so I called Albany
yep.
and told one of the aides about this email I sent out. I said, it's really important that he gets this ASAP. Mm-hmm. So she asked me to forward it to her, and she would print it out and give it to him. Within 2 days, I'm pretty sure it was like 2 days, mm-hmm. all they had to do was add Brittany's Law, make an amendment to that penal code, add Brittany's Law to it mm-hmm. to make it constitutional.
Simple fix.
Yes.
So the big question that I have been getting leading up to this show has been, where does Brittany's Law stand right now, absent of, you know, where we left last year, and where does it look like it's going January and on?
Right now, we have to start all over again.
Mm-hmm.
I would guarantee, though, within a couple days, because Senator Nasolio is so passionate about this bill.
Yes.
I would pretty much guarantee within 2 days of the session reopening up, it'll have a bill number in the Senate.
That's
I was
good
surprised how quick it had one last year.
Yep. So what has it been like working with Brian Colbin and Senator Nasolio?
I can't say enough good about either one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Senator Nasolio, of course, we've worked closer together. Because he was the one that I initially went to. He's trying to help out a constituent. It goes beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
He's passionate about this. He's shown so much compassion towards the family.
Mm-hmm.
He even went so far this past year, because Brittany should have graduated this past year.
Yep.
He put out a news press release,
mm-hmm,
in honor of Brittany.
Yep.
Because, obviously, she missed the graduation that she should have had. Just a lot of compassion.
And she also had a brick dedicated to her?
There were two bricks they laid in front of the Smith Opera House, where they held their ceremonies every year.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And Assemblyman Kolb, he's determined to get this bill passed one way or another as well. It's one of his top priorities.
Mm-hmm.
Either one of them, I can call anytime. In
mm-hmm.
fact, I do, even when session's not in place.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm talking to someone, if I hear something, hear about a story, or I'm just brainstorming, I can contact either one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's never a problem, and they never make me feel like I'm bothering them.
Yeah. So you've worked with a lot of other people as well.
Yes.
I would be remiss if I did not ask you to, you know, how numbers. I mean, you've gotten a lot of support over the last several years.
Oh.
Just in terms of, you know, has it been overwhelmingly positive? You know, what's the mix been like?
Well, Brittany, I have a group on Facebook, Brittany's Law Group. We've got over 1,500 members.
Mm-hmm.
And even if they're not a member of that group, people on my own Facebook page, they're so supportive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a couple times I felt like giving up. You know,
yeah,
this just isn't working.
Mm-hmm.
And one year, even my son said, "Mom, you can't quit.
Yep.
You can't stop." And I get this kind of push from all my followers on Facebook as well, and now Twitter, "Don't stop.
Yeah.
Don't give up."
Yeah.
Different Senate members,
mm-hmm,
"Please don't quit. Please don't stop." I was thanked by Linda Randolph. She's the mother of Shannon Pepper,
mm-hmm,
who died last year in a mm-hmm fire.
Yep.
She was abused severely.
Yep.
Her last beating, it was a 2-day period,
yep,
where her boyfriend beat mm-hmm her up so bad. The only way that they could recognize her was by a tattoo on her arm.
Mm-hmm.
And when she got out of the hospital, I believe she went to see Senator Young,
mm-hmm,
up in the Buffalo area.
Yeah. Yep.
And she told her about Brittany's Law.
Yep.
And instantly she started advocating, getting signatures on petitions.
Mm-hmm.
And now her mom and stepdad have picked up in her place to try
mm-hmm
to help.
Yeah, that's one thing. You know, a lot of people they'll either be listening to this, or they'll see Brittany's Law in the newspaper, or they'll see, we see terrible things in the news
mm-hmm
every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very easy to sort of become glazed over to the terrible things that are happening in your own backyard.
Mm-hmm.
And we're lucky here to have, you know, great people like Senator Nasolio, Brian Kolb, working, excuse me, around the clock
mm-hmm
to help us here. But that isn't always the case. And it's groups like what you're talking about, like what you're advocating for, you know, that is really what keeps some of the keeps everything together.
Yeah, well, I have a Google tag out there as well. So anytime Brittany's Law goes through the web,
yep.
I get an email.
Yep.
Well, that's how I came in contact with the Randolphs.
Yep.
And then more recent, the Retzers, up in the Buffalo area as well.
Yep.
Their nephew was severely beaten by his father as well, and he had just gotten out of prison. And that story, just, it was like deja vu. It was like hearing about John Brown all over again, because that was his original offense. He had thrown his child, infant child, against a wall. And it was like, oh my God, history, you know, someone's going to die again.
Yep.
Someone is going to die.
Yep.
The chances of a violent offender abusing their partner is so high. And he had even gotten on a dating website.
Yeah.
Used a different name. He got caught, thank God.
Yeah.
But he does have a girlfriend right now, and I fear for her.
Yeah. So one of the things we've talked about a lot over the last few weeks is sort of the discrepancy, we'll call it, between, or the disconnect, I guess would be a better way of saying it, between people who think this is just a criminal issue and those who think this is a women's issue. So I know you know this side very well. Talk to us a little bit about why it's a women's issue and not just a criminal issue.
Well, I can understand why they think that. I mean, it's not just a women's issue, number one, because domestic violence happens to men too.
Yep.
Not as often, because, well, number one, a lot of men aren't going to admit that they've been abused.
Yeah.
It's a macho man thing. But if not physical, there's a lot of mental abuse that goes on. And on both parties, a lot of it isn't even reported. And if it is, it takes years. But women and children are also more vulnerable. They're the weaker of the two sexes.
Yep.
And the numbers are just staggering as far as domestic abuse, and it's not getting any better. I got some figures that I want to read verbatim because it just amazes me.
Yeah, it is. It's one of those issues that, as much as it is seen repeatedly, but you don't really understand the mass of the problem until you actually see some of the numbers that are out there. Take it away, by all means.
The first one that really shocked me, they were talking about the number of American troops that were killed in the Afghanistan and Iraq war.
Yep.
Between 2001 and 2012, it was 6,488 soldiers were killed.
Yep.
The amount of women murdered by a current or ex-partner was 11,766 in that same time frame. That's almost double.
Yeah.
From a war.
Yeah.
Three women are murdered every day by a current or former partner. 38,028,000 women have experienced partner violence in their lifetime. 4,774,000 women in the U.S. experience physical violence by their intimate partner every year. Every minute, 20 people are victims of intimate partner domestic violence. 1 in 4 women will be victims of severe violence by an intimate partner in their lifetime. For men, it's 1 in 7. The number of paid work loss week every year is 8 million, equivalent to 32,000 full-time jobs.
So let me ask you this, and I'm sure you've been asked this a million times since in the last 4 or 5 years. What do you think has stopped this from, because those numbers didn't just appear last night.
No.
They've been around.
Right.
So what do you think has been the disconnect or the slow call to action on this particular issue over the last decade, 2 decades, you know, going back?
I think for a long time, and this might just be my personal opinion, so often the police get calls with a domestic violence issue, and then when they get there, nothing's done. There are no charges filed. He didn't really mean to hurt me, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking maybe something needs to change there. In fact, I thought it did, at least in New York State. I thought something had changed. I feel that if they get a call and the police go to that home and see that someone was hurt, it should be taken right out of the abuser's hands, and automatically that person's arrested. That way they can't, they're not going to have to worry about their abuser coming back on them. You had me arrested.
Yeah, take it up with the prosecutor, not with the
exactly,
you know, with your ex or with your significant other. Okay, so one of the roadblocks, I'll say, in public opinion on this particular issue, I've seen quite a bit of people saying, well, this is going to impact those who do make mistakes. This is going to impact their ability to have a clean slate or to redeem themselves after they have paid their debt to society. Now, excluding the fact that perhaps there's a problem with sentencing here in New York State or more broadly across the entire country, what do you think is sort of, what's your response to that as an advocate for Brittany's Law?
Well, this is kind of a two-part answer because there are two strong issues that come into play with this. Number one, after a certain period of time, depending upon their crime, John Brown only served 2.5 years for what he did to his child. She has brain damage. These people who may do something, maybe it might be murder in the second degree or whatever, after 20 years, they get probation. The victims, especially in Helen and Brittany's case, they don't get parole. They're dead. They're 6 feet under. Their families don't get probation. My grandson, who was only 15 and a half, who had to find them, see this horrific scene, will never get probation. We'll have to deal with this for the rest of our lives. Why does it always fall on the victim? You know, not only that, this isn't something that's going to be grandfathered in. They're going to know ahead of time if they commit a violent act that they're going to have to register.
So it would become, what you're saying is it would effectively become a part of the sentencing process. No one would be going in blind.
Right.
There would be knowledge.
Right. In fact, I think, I'm not positive, but I think it wouldn't even go into effect until 180 days after it's signed. So people are going to know. So if you don't want to have to register, don't do the crime. And Assemblyman Kolb made a good point at the last press conference we had with him. If you don't pay your utility bill, they know where to find you. If you don't pay your taxes, you can be darn sure the IRS knows how to find you. Why shouldn't we have the right to know this? I mean, we're talking about human lives, not just ourselves, maybe as adults, but our children as well, maybe our teenage daughters or nieces.
Yeah,
we should be able to look them up. And if they're if they've gotten off parole, you may never know.
Yeah. One of the things, you know, you just sparked my memory on something. One of the issues that I recall hearing about was a cost associated with this, and you may or may not know the answer to this, but you've done a lot of work with Mike and Brian, so I would assume that you might have some knowledge. Would the cost be so great that this type of law would be not feasible, you know? Or is that just kind of a part of the rhetoric of the other side?
I think it's part of the rhetoric, because I've spoken with Brian about this a lot. The initial setup would be the biggest expense, but after that, it's just maintenance. Same as with Megan's Law. In fact, this would mirror Megan's Law, three-tier level, three being the worst, second, first. It would just be the initial setup. And look at all the lives you're saving. And I talk about, you know, job loss, hospital costs. You know, there are so many so many things. A lot of these people are on state aid.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's a more systemic issue there you're speaking to also, is that it would reduce the cost of the state would effectively have reduced costs,
yes,
associated with Brittany's law if it were implemented.
Right. I mean, if they would look at the whole grand scheme of things,
mm-hmm.
not just the initial part,
yep.
they would see that it would be a cost savings. And another thing that people are worried about is our jobs.
Yeah.
Blue-collar jobs, almost anyone can get a blue-collar job,
mm-hmm.
painting, landscaping, construction work. But there are also other places at New York, and maybe a lot of companies aren't even aware of this, but I know Berry Plastics for a fact because my son's been working there for over a decade.
Mm-hmm.
They hire felons all the time because the state will pay up to a certain amount of time or a certain dollar amount, probably depending on what their starting wage is.
Mm-hmm.
And I would hazard a guess that what they're paid mm-hmm. probably at least covers training period. So they're
yep.
basically getting this person trained for free.
Yeah.
So they're always hiring felons.
So the entire, you're shooting down the entire notion that, you know, cost would be too much, or there are any other arbitrary reason to not have Brittany's law signed into
right.
law. So do you, just looking forward a little bit, do we see it getting out of committee? Do we see it getting to the next step? Do you feel good about it?
Well, towards the end of the year, of course, we all know there was a lot going on in Albany last year.
Yep.
In fact, I think up to the end of February, I think I heard that only 19 bills had gotten passed because of all the issues.
Mm-hmm.
But Brian did talk with Speaker Hastie towards the end of the session,
mm-hmm.
and he didn't say no, so he felt hopeful about that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping Speaker Hastie will be more open-minded. Like I said, it's not a bipartisan issue. And if we could just get some kind of response from the Democratic majority, if there's an issue, this nothing's set in gold here.
Yeah.
Changes, amendments can be made to this bill, but we don't know what they are. We don't know what the problem is.
The problem is that it's not even being entertained in the first place.
Exactly.
So no one can even look at it to say, well, this is wrong or that is wrong.
Right.
Where it's something tangible that you can identify.
Exactly.
That is a definite issue, and
yes.
that seems to be with more issues than not in New York State,
and
something
I,
that repeatedly comes up.
I even asked them at the press conference, you know, why?
Mm-hmm.
You know, please tell us why, you know? What do we need to do to get this to the floor?
Mm-hmm. So just as a last question to for something to leave with the viewers going forward, what are your thoughts? What would you like to tell people who might be listening to this or watching us saying, you know, well, I've heard about Brittany's law, but what else or what next?
I think number one, because, and I was the same way until this happened, no one thinks that something like this will happen to them.
Mm-hmm.
It does.
Yep.
Unfortunately, we know that now. If you have a niece, you have a daughter or a son,
mm-hmm.
you know it can happen to you. Domestic violence happens everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
There, it doesn't matter where you live. It doesn't matter your income. I would say that first. Try to put your child's or family member's face on this bill. Number two, I would ask them to please call their assembly members
mm-hmm.
and tell them that they would like this passed, brought to the floor for a fair up-down vote.
Mm-hmm.
Many people feel that if it does make it to the floor, it will pass.
Mm-hmm.
But those phones need to start ringing off the hook.
Yep.
Call their assembly person. Call Speaker Hastie.
Mm-hmm. You have been incredibly, incredibly dedicated and incredibly gracious for coming on.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to say thank you for coming on. I know this is a really, really difficult thing for you to talk about and continue advocating for because of the challenge you've had and because of the friction that has existed just with the law by itself, not completely ignoring the personal side of it that you've had to deal with. I wish you the best of luck with everything moving forward. And at this point, I would just like to quickly let everyone know what we have coming up in the next couple weeks. Next Thursday at 4 p.m., we will have developer Lee Bieber joining us in studio to talk about the changes in downtown Waterloo. Maybe you've noticed over the last month or so that instead of four lanes on 5 and 20 in Waterloo, we're down to two lanes, and there have been a couple new additions to the storefronts in downtown Waterloo. He will be in next Thursday at 4 p.m. to talk about all of that and a lot more. And then on the 17th of this month, 2 weeks from today, we are going to have Seneca County Public Health Director Vicki Swinehart joining us in studio to talk about the recent health scares in the area, including the hepatitis A diagnoses at both McDonald's and now Mark's Pizzeria. That'll be an interesting show, and I believe she'll be bringing a couple extra guests as well, so make sure you tune in 2 weeks for that one. In the meantime, as always, check out fingerlakes1.com for the latest news and updates. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. And if you're watching us on YouTube, be sure to press the subscribe button to get the latest videos and podcasts delivered directly to your inbox as soon as they're uploaded. Thank you.